Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is St. Paul's letter from prison to the Christians in Philippi, especially these words. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is our text. We all know the story, which we'll probably watch or read again in the coming month, of how the Grinch tried to steal Christmas. But I wonder if you know the story of who tries to steal Thanksgiving. No, I'm not talking about some kind of culture war or political divide. And no, I'm not talking about someone literally running off with a turkey under one arm, stuffing under another, and a pie in each hand. No, I mean the kind of thief who creeps in, leaves your precious stuff untouched, but sucks the thankfulness straight from your soul. He doesn't care about how much or how little you have, as long as you don't enjoy any of it. His chief delight is in making us grumpy, bitter, and discontent. And if this thief were writing the letter to the Philippians, he would have said it like this: Not that I am speaking of being satisfied, certainly not. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be discontent. I know how to remain unhappy, whether brought low or abounding. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need with bitterness. I can do nothing, enjoy nothing, receive nothing without strong resentment. Who is this thief? It is comparison. Comparison is the Thanksgiving thief. By nature, we are people who like to compare. We tend to compare ourselves and our stuff to others. We compare especially external, quantifiable, objective things with the things they have. Homes, cars, educational and work pedigrees, salaries, electronics, vacation destinations, physical characteristics, spouses and families, and so on. If it exists, then we can find a way to compare it in some fashion. We make a comparison out of everything. And what happens when we begin to compare things with others? Well, you know how it is. We begin to make a comparison, and we can see all of the flaws and defects in the things that we have. We know every ding and scratch in the car that we drive, but boy, the car that person drives, it looks pristine. We want what the other person has, and we become dissatisfied with what we have. I know it's probably quite obvious among children. I see it on a daily basis, more or less. Where one child sees the toy another child has, they may have five toys in their arms, but they see the one the other child has, and they throw a fit over it. Okay, so we adults don't throw fits anymore, but way too often, we're children on the inside. Comparing ourselves with others not only makes us unhappy, discontent, and bitter, but it ruins what we do have. Trying to be the Joneses will ruin the Gregories or anyone else. So tonight, we are invited to step away from comparison, put away our cell phones and our Facebook scrolling, and instead we are invited to step into the gifts that our Lord has for us. And we are invited to receive our blessings not with comparison, but rather with thanksgiving. And this is true no matter what our lives may look like today or what they may have been like in the past year. For some, the past year has been a year of success, and for some, it has been a year of painful finances. For some, it has been a year of good health, and for others, it has been a year of struggles and trials. So how can we be content? Well, consider St. Paul. If you want a comparison, then let's look at him. And I'll venture to say that you'll think that you have it pretty well. Because when St. Paul was writing to the Christians in Philippi, he was writing from prison. He had been in prison for a while already. Sure, his prison probably didn't mean in every instance that he was shackled, but he was limited in where he could go and who he could see and what he could do. His life was not his own. And not only that, but St. Paul's life is nearing its end. When he writes that letter, it's not long before he'll be hauled in front of Caesar and his head will be taken off for being a Christian. Anyone wish to trade places with St. Paul? And yet St. Paul is the one who speaks not out of bitterness, not out of discontent or unhappiness, but he is the one who speaks out of contentment. Contentment in Christ. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content, even prison. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Through him who strengthens me. You see, St. Paul had learned the secret of being content because he had his eyes not fixed on his neighbor and what the neighbor had, but rather fixed on his Lord. He looked to Jesus Christ, the one who, though he was rich, made himself poor, so that we, by his poverty, might become rich. Our Lord, who thought nothing of having it all and leaving it behind for your sake, that you might be his and belong to him. Our Lord, who knowing the struggle that we would have with comparison and desire of what other people have, knowing the envy that would so often take root in our hearts, came among us, and not only came among us, but took on himself what we deserve, and died upon the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was content to take your sins and mine, to take your death and mine, to take your hell and mine, and bear it for us. St. Paul was looking to him, and tonight we look to him as well. And when we look to our Lord and compare ourselves with him, what we find is that everything that belongs to him is given to us: the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And so we can be content, and we can carry on, and we can live through him who strengthens us, the one who gives us strength to live and to work and to love, no matter how much or how little we have. And as we think about our lives, we are reminded that the things we have are things that come from God in the first place. He created the entire heavens and the earth, and he created man and woman at the center of that creation, and he provided for them food. And even after the fall into sin, God continued to provide, continued to care, continued to give us what we need for our daily lives. This is why Jesus says that we do not need to be worried about what we will eat or what we will wear. I dare say that all of us have no reason to be worried about what we will eat, because we can probably already imagine what will be on the table tomorrow. There will be no lack. God has created and sustained us, and life in this world remains a good gift from him, even when that life at times is a struggle, even when it may be a burden, even when the finances are painful and the health is not great. Still, we have Christ, and because we have Christ, we are lacking in nothing. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not allow the thief comparison to come today or tomorrow or in the days ahead and rob you of the joy of thanksgiving. But instead, as you receive your daily bread, your turkey, your pumpkin pie, whatever the Lord gives you tomorrow, receive all of it with thanksgiving. Receive it in humility. Receive it with joy as gifts that come from the creation that God made for you and as gifts that come through the sacrifice that Christ made also for you. And so tonight we gather to thank and praise God for what he gives. We gather to look to Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. We gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, not to look at and compare with one another, but rather to rejoice in our Lord. And as St. Paul said to the Philippians, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And no one can steal that from us. In Jesus' name, amen.